I guess it speaks to Coach Silverfield and what they're trying to do, establish the toughness, establish the endurance. And hey, look, if you're going to play in September, we know it's probably going to be triple-digit heat index, at least on one of the games if it's at home. So potentially you got to be ready for it anyway.
Tom, you remember the great line from both Woody Hayes as well as Bo Schembechler. They would go outside in November when it's 5 degrees. Woody would have a T-shirt on. He wouldn't wear a coat. And the players would complain about how cold it was. And he'd say, gentlemen, if you're going to fight in the North Atlantic, you must train in the North Atlantic. So that's true for the equator down here. So
it really is. And I mean, that's the thing. If you work out in this and you push through, and it's a mental barrier for sure. Because I was in my yard yesterday walking around, and I was thinking about how I felt when I knew that camp was a few days away and we were going to be doing seat rolls. And we had like little stickers in our field, you know, I don't know what you can call them, burrs or whatever.
Yes.
And I would be thinking about, man, we're about to start doing those seat rolls. And I'd get them in my hands, and I didn't want to do it, and belly crawls, and it's hot and it's hard. But, you know, if you can do all that, you get into a game and you're used to having sweat on your hands and having to fight through play after play to you know, create positive results. And that's what a tough training camp's about. That's what I heard Ryan Silverfield did at Memphis, and that's what he's doing here.
Tell Coach Silverfield that down in Maumelle we're putting snakes in the helmets, so he might want to try that next.
I saw that social media post, and it looked like I don't know why. I did not see the, like, why it was done or what have you, but I did see that. And so, let's don't be putting snakes in helmets.
It crawled in on its own volition. This was a snake that found its way into that helmet. It crawled up in the padding. So, like, you know, it wasn't like the snake was on his head. It was in the padding. Now, I think he said he felt something kind of move, which prompted him to be like, what is this? Took it off, and they were able to withdraw. But, I mean, it was a water moccasin in his pads,
yep,
in his helmet. New fear unlocked for every football player out
Yikes.
There these days. Yeah.
You know, every mom of a football playing boy.
Check your helmet.
Was like, hey.
Check your
helmet. Yeah. That thing got sent through every mother's Facebook group on the planet.
Easily. Yeah, no doubt. Tom, quick question. I want to get back to just a couple of the highlights from camp so far. And I think you were talking with the guys last week how it's just until they go live, and even then there's only a few opportunities where they're going live in practice and what you're able to see. What have you garnered so far looking this past week at what you've seen in camp and any highlights other than what we're reading about in the paper that you can share?
Right. Well, I want to say that live started Tuesday, and we didn't see any. It was no media windows during the live tackling, but
okay,
there was some yesterday. So we actually got a pretty high volume. I mean, they started the day with these backed up on your own 2-yard line, and KJ Jackson went with the ones, and he got a first down out of it. Brandon Russell had a really nice, Chris Marshall had a catch, and Russell had a nice run to get a first down. But then the second unit went out there, and they created a first down on their first play. It was AJ Hill to CC, 10-yard gain. But then the next play was the free play. The defense tried to anticipate the snap count. I think a couple of guys were in the neutral zone, and A.J. Hill just unleashed a deep one. It was a beautiful ball, and Braden Lee's cover was not that bad. But Courtney Crutchfield had a step on him, caught it, and then just outpaced Lee, and then a safety came over. But 88-yard touchdown. So that was a big highlight there. And then the Tuesday work, A.J. Hill had a nice one. It was a third or fourth down. You know, they were 2 minutes, last play of the game, and he connected with Ty Locke with the tight end, and he got down the middle. And it's a question as to whether someone would have tackled him on the 2 or 3. They would have had to have knocked him backwards. Otherwise, his momentum would have taken him in. So those have been the highlights of what we've seen. But, you know, we're getting pretty good access, I would say. You know, there's a few individual periods in there and some special teams, but there's been some team tempo that we're able to track, and, of course, we write all that stuff up.
Tom, the offensive line, as I mentioned in the Red Right Report, getting that, you know, some talk in terms of, okay, what are the projected starters? Also, just talking about some of the statistics nationally that the Memphis staff is bringing over with them that, you know, gives them some credibility, and obviously Silverfield's background in that regard, both at Memphis and in the NFL. Have you noticed any difference between last year's guys, and I say last year's guys, I mean some of these players are the same, but just in terms of what you've seen, have you noticed a difference in maybe just their ability to be more effective now that you got to see some live action, was there any noticeable difference on the offensive line from last year to this year, even though it's just practice?
Right. When we're watching live snaps, I mean, I'm tracking the ball carrier. This is what I do for how we want to cover it. So it's really hard to see what technique looks like, who's got the best get-off on the defensive front, who's holding their guy off the best on the O-line. It's just really hard to see that on a play-to-play basis. So comparing it to last year's team, I really don't have a lot to give you right there. I am concerned about the tackles. You know, I think the veterans they have in the interior, Caden Kittler, and your Malachi Breland comes over from Memphis, and then Kobe Branham, who was a starter as a redshirt freshman last year. You know, I feel pretty comfortable with those guys. Obviously, Kittler had to bulk up a little bit to be able to handle the bull rushes on the interior. But those three, you know, they're veterans. Kittler knows how to make calls. Breland helps him with calls. So those are okay. But it's Kavion Broussard and Bryant Williams, the top two tackles, and then possibly Adam Hawks, the transfer, look like the top three tackles right now. And, you know, Quincy Rhodes and the guys on the other edge, Souls and Charlie Collins, Jamonte Waller, they're of a veteran nature, and they're harder to contain. And so these guys are getting really good training going up against Quincy in that group. And they win some battles for sure, but, you know, you got to really have good tackles. And I don't doubt that Jeff Myers and Ryan Silverfield, being an old O-line guy, are going to give them the best technique and drills and calls and all that. If they can be on one page and show some physicality, they have a chance. But I'm not under the delusion that going into the season that everything's okay. They're just going to have to fight through some stuff on that O-line, in my opinion.
I got a quick one here for you. We're going to get off football a little bit. And we do have some sound from that we'll play. Marcus Johnson had a lot of good stuff to say about the O-line, and he mentioned a lot of the players you did. Obviously, he was asked about Braylon coming over from Memphis here. But quick before we let you go here, Tom, did you any news on Isaiah Seely from the basketball team?
I had just seen there was an arrest report, and someone else on our staff, Anthony Christensen, was working on that. But I've been in my yard a little bit and doing some other things, and I haven't read exactly what happened. I haven't seen the report, other than, you know, this is probably the first basketball arrest in quite some time. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what else to say on that one. Maybe you could fill the listeners in more what you read about Seely.
He was charged with criminal trespass, obstructing governmental operations, and minor in possession of alcohol and possession of a controlled substance. He was booked last night this morning at 1:52 in the morning, and his court date is scheduled for the 28th of September. He has been released on bond already, though. Okay, just curious if you knew anything more on that yet.
Right. No, not yet. Okay. I'm sure there's some details in the police report about exactly what happened. So I'm sure those will trickle out during the course of the day.
Cool.
Hey, Tom, back to fall camp. Who else stood out in live yesterday? Any position group, anything that you noticed that you're like, okay, well, that's good to see now that we're seeing, you know, live hitting and guys that are able to actually play freely instead of, you know, touch.
Right. Well, Quincy made a really good read on a swing pass. KJ Jackson threw it to Braylon Russell in the left flats. And Quincy not only read it, but he just drove Russell backward. There was no escaping. Quincy didn't sling him down. He just tackled him. And it was an 8-yard loss. You know, Crutchfield, I heard y'all talking at the top. I don't think he's in the top three right now, but that's the kind of play that can get you more playing time. I mean, his catch last year at LSU, that was a great catch, falling backwards. But it's all about how committed are you to the game and improving yourself and getting your body right. And he's taking strides in that department, and he's certainly in the mix to be in the two-deep rotation at receiver. And I think the big concern there is, do you have a breakout guy that, you know, you're a go-to? And Chris Marshall had a good day yesterday as well. He might be your guy, but he's got to avoid the drops like he had in the spring game. I've seen a few too many drops than I would prefer, and they got to get that cleaned up for the season. But that receiver group might be one of the biggest position watches that we'll have through the rest of camp.
Love that. Hey, real quick, Chris, let me ask you, too. Back on the O-line, you know, is it common to have two coaches going now? The players spoke on this a little bit about having two different O-line coaches now. Do you notice anything different between the two of them or anything that they're, you know, individually handling on the line at all?
Well, it's getting more common in the game because you can have more coaches. And so Arkansas has, like, an assistant DBs coach, a second O-line coach, and I think they have 13. It used to be 10 maybe. But anyway, you can tell Jeff Myers is the guy who's been with Silverfield the longest, knows the system at Memphis. And as Marcus Johnson pointed out yesterday, it's just like Malachi Breland passing along pointers. He's been in the system and made a correction to Caden Kittler yesterday on a call. Jeff Myers is assisting Marcus the same way. And so on the whole, it looks like Myers stays with the interior guys most often. Marcus Johnson stays with the tackles, but they do mix it up some. And it's interesting to get more voices. They can run half-line drills and get more work done in a given period. You just get different perspectives. And, you know, and on the D-line, for instance, we heard there could be a good cop, bad cop approach. Like Landius Wilkerson can be the tough guy and really get on to somebody. And then Kenji Cotton can come over later and say, hey, man, we're just trying to, you know, help you improve your craft, the good cop. And so it's different input. I mean, they've got a quarterback's coach. So Tim Kramsey, you'll see him kind of watching from the side, you know, making the calls into the quarterback's helmets and stuff. But Mitch Stewart is right there on the play-by-play during drills, telling them, to, you know, look here, here's your coverage slide and all this kind of stuff. So it's interesting that there's more coaches on the field now, for sure.
Have you noticed, I mean, Silverfield talks about over and over doing the little things right, cleaning up the mess of turnovers, penalties, et cetera.
Own the ball.
Have you noticed, in practice at least, that they have improved in those categories?
Well, they've got a ways to go because they were really a horrid turnover margin team. And talking to the D lineman on Tuesday about what the first day of live action, David Oakey, I believe it was, he said, what did we get today, 2 or 3 fumbles? So that's not good ball security. We don't know who did it. It could have been the third team. But there was the ball was on the ground some. We've seen some picks from A.J. Hill in camp. And you can tell K.J. Jackson, you know, it's drilled into his head, don't put the ball in jeopardy. And sometimes he'll throw it far, you know, too high, and he doesn't give his receivers a chance. So he's got to hone in on not get throwing the ball up for grabs, but also putting in a position where his guy is the only one who has a chance instead of nobody. Because on some of their end zone throws, corner stuff, it was like no one has a chance to catch it, as opposed to if you put it right there in this little box, your guy has a better opportunity to get to the ball. So, you know what? We're pretty early in camp. Just started live hitting this week. They got a long way to go. But I have cautious optimism they're going to be an improved team in the turnover margin.
Tom Murphy from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joining us, as he does every Friday. Tom, before we let you go, the Little Rock Touchdown Club announced its speaker lineup yesterday and a couple former Razorbacks making their way down here. Frank Ragnow, who I know you covered. And were you around when Jason Peters played back in the early 2000s? Were you here at that point?
I was not. I was covering Bama at the time. Okay. But I remember him. He either had a touchdown catch or a two-point conversion catch in a game against Alabama. And this was back, I mean, Houston Nutt's teams went toe-to-toe with Bama. It was not the classic Bama. And Peters, as a tight end back then, had a big catch. But interesting speaker lineup, for sure.
What about Frank Ragnow? Memories of covering Frank. I know, I remember, did his father pass away while he was at the U of A? And wasn't that part of?
He did. And Frank had his own outdoor website, which I went to a lot, just looked at. A really cool kid to cover. His Twitter handle was his entire name backwards, and I can't remember. You know, I can't remember what it looks like right now, but it was Darth Wagner or something really interesting. And I hate that he had to retire from the NFL as soon as he did, but great kid. Just a really good recruiting get by Sam Pittman and that group. And he was a guard here for a while before he moved to center.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tom, for joining us. As always, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can catch all Tom's stories there and updates from fall camp throughout, along with the rest of the team. Tom, we appreciate you. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tom.
Always enjoy it, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Thanks, man. Let's play some of the audio we have here. Marcus Johnson, the O-line coach. Here he is talking about what he, and, you know, Tom touched on some of this, what he liked about the O-line group and then what it looks like competing for the positions there.
I think the attitude, the physicalness, the toughness, not backing down. These guys have been, they've done a really nice job, man. And, you know, as long as we stay consistent, man, and just take it one day at a time, you know, and we got a chance to have a solid group up front, in my opinion. And not only a solid group, but some depth behind it, in my opinion. Oh, well, they know all positions are open, you know, right now. We're competing at this moment in time in camp. And, you know, other guys have gotten opportunities. Brooks, Terrence as well, you know. So we mixed and we started it this week, you know, mixing the guys around. And a lot of it is because you don't know what's going to happen, you know, throughout the course of the season. Knock on wood. But as we all know, you know, it's hard to start a season with five guys and finish with that same five. You know, we kind of went about it in that fashion during the spring as well at times when guys got some nicks and bruises. So it's a next guy up mentality, and that's the approach as far as the room goes. We all know, man, once that ball get kicked off on Saturdays, they don't care if you're a freshman or fifth year or whatever, you know. Anything goes at that moment.
He was also asked about, you know, individual linemen, and he spoke on all them. But, again, Tom touched on having Malachi Breland there coming from the Memphis offense and seeing how that helps out here.
I seen it happen today in walkthrough, you know, Malachi correcting a kid on a call, you know what I mean? So, again, obviously his experience in this system is, as well as Coach Myers, who kind of like what you're saying about Malachi, you know, being in this system. That's how it is with Myers and myself, you know, being that he knows this system and they've had great success with it, you know. But he does a great job of pouring into the guys, you know, and they ask him questions. You know, he has a great understanding of what we're trying to do. And he does a great job of passing along. Or if we get in a situation to where he know that we're not – that kid's not making the right call, he's able to correct that and fix it.
And we also got to hear from Caden Kittler. Here is – we talked a little bit about them having two O-line coaches now, so he spoke on that too.
Just the way they coach us is one of the biggest differences. You know, we have two O-line coaches now, so, you know, that's a lot different than last year. And, you know, we like that a lot, getting another point of view on the game and, you know, more reps in practice because we can split off, you know, tackles and then interior guys with different coaches. And, you know, it's been great.